time a
book girl.
It's a special affairs book, but we're talking about Shmuel's, one of his rabbis, Rabbi Hirsch Lippu, when he came close to Breslev, and now he wanted to go to Uman. So, not so far from Lublin, to, when he was in Lublin afterwards, it's not far, so far from Lublin to Uman. The problem is, there was a curtain, an iron curtain. It was kind of hard, between the First World War and Second World War, it was kind of hard to cross the border, kind of dangerous also. Might treat you like a dog. Yeah. But Rabbi Hirsch Leib,
well, given the Russians, they probably enjoy it.
What does he care? Border, no border. He needs to go to the Rebbe. He doesn't know anything. Can't. This small issue of border. Yeah. And he knew he's going to get. Even the days where he had a, was Samaj, it was very far from him. He yearned, he wanted to go to the Rebbe. And then he heard in Lodz, this Hasidim speaking, the rest of Hasidim, how that guy crossed the border, and that guy crossed the border, and that guy, he got all kinds of chizuk for that. Right? It's like also now, the time when they came from Eretz Yisrael, before the communists fell, they used to fly. Right? In 1960s, 1970s. Now Berland, 1980s, of course. But the people here used to speak, oh, and he managed to get there. Oh, that one guy, and he got excited. Everyone was getting excited. Not like today, you just get up on a plane at $350 and you're there. Right? Not a big deal. $400. Okay. Anyways. And then suddenly there was a big obstacle against going to Uman. What was the big obstacle? From the weirdest place. It was after one of the what's it called when they tried to cross the border, tried to break through.
The attempt?
Yeah, one of the attempts. One of the attempts?
Attempt.
20 boys were caught. Yeah, one of them was the rabbi of one of the rabbis of Lodz. Yeah, and he sent his father a letter. His father wasn't a breastfeeder. He sent his father a letter. I fell down and everything, and because of that, I'm going to Uman. And he left. Fine. The father got the letter, took off his Rebbe clothing, put on regular clothing, and he went to the Breslev shul, faking it, saying, "How do you go to Uman? How do you go to Uman? This, I really want to go to Uman for Hashem." And they told him exactly how to go, all the paths, and he went after there for hours and hours, and he went according to, along the border until he found his son. And he grabbed him by his ear and he said, "You're coming home right now." And he came back. And then he wanted to prevent his son again from going. So he went to Rabbi Yitzchak Breiter and Rabbi Aaron Leib Tzigelman, and he forced him, he asked him to sign a letter that it's very dangerous to go because it's Pikuach Nefesh, you mean, now let it go. So they signed because it was dangerous. Yeah. And they put it up in all the new Jewish newspapers. And the people in Breslev were very disappointed, they didn't know what to do. But then, Rabbi Hirsch Leib decided, it's just an obstacle for the desires, for the will, I'm going to go anyways. When the important people of Anash heard this, so they told him, you know, you're only 16 and a half years old, you want to bring yourself into Pikuach Nefesh? And they said, listen, it's better, you know, you saved all this money, buy books of Rabbeinu and do hafatzah and give it out. Yeah, sell the books. That's what they told him. That's what you should do with the money. It's also considered that the zchut, that Rabbeinu will help you also where he is, even though you're not there. But he pushed away all the obstacles and he said, no, I have to go. And they, and anyways, they hired some guy in there, professional people that bring you the water, what's it called?
Smugglers.
Professional smugglers.
And coyotes.
What's it called?
Coyotes.
Coyotas. Coyotes.
Yeah, that's if you're smuggling across the American border.
Yeah, from
Mexico to LA.
Yeah, exactly. They still do that?
Oh, yeah.
There's no fence?
They get over it.
Anyways, in the middle of the night they were going. Now, the smugglers there, they were carrying that with them dag maluach. I say maluach. Herring.
Salted.
Salted fish, herring, right? And vodka, bottles of vodka wine. Because in Poland, that was cheap. And in Russia, it was expensive. They wanted to sell it there. Yeah.
Right.
So he just added, he adds your sentence. Look what a breast lover is willing to, a breast lover is willing to risk his life for going to Uman, for Rabbeinu. A guy is willing to risk it for a few dollars, a few rubles. Anyways, yeah, fine. They managed to cross the border, and very soon they found themselves in the Ukraine. But that was the easy part. Problem is that it was a lot longer until you reached the next city and everything was hard. And they walked and walked and walked, and they finished all the boys. There were a few boys, three boys, they finished all the food that they had with them, and all the water. And the only thing to eat was crackers and salted fish. And the only thing to drink was
vodka.
And also one of the boys, he sprained his leg. It's a whole story there. So they didn't. He couldn't move. It was painful. So they said, "Drink a thing of." They gave him to drink vodka, and then he didn't feel the pain. He was able to walk. The problem is that when you drink too much vodka, you fall asleep. So he fell asleep, this guy. So now what do you do now? Right there on the border somewhere, this guy's sprained his leg. He's drunk sleeping there, and they don't know what to do. Now leaving the boy there alone, he can't do it. To leave, stand there is dangerous because they all get killed by the communists. What are they going to do? What could you cheat? Could you risk the whole group for one guy? The smugglers said, "We don't care anything. It's our lives. We're going on. Do whatever you want." They continued, besides Rabbi Shleim. Rabbi Shleim, the Rabbi of Shmuel, he says, "You don't leave a friend. And even if you're going to die, you stay with a friend." And he stayed with him until the morning. And in the morning, his friend awoke him. And he felt better, right? And Rabbi Shleim carried him like on his shoulder, and he walked with them. After all, they had a destination they had to get to. Uman Rosh Hashanah. It was the first Rosh Hashanah. At the end, they found their friends. Yeah, but even though they did everything, they didn't manage to get there for Rosh Hashanah. They got there a day after Rosh Hashanah. Okay, also good. They were so excited, and they were crying, and they finally reached Uman. They came home. But unfortunately, this happiness didn't last long because he became very ill of Yerush Lev. Ramaz deathly ill. You know what to do? There was a tipus. Numan, the typhus, Numan. A lot of people died, and after Sukkot, he became deathly ill. And he was laying in the clothes, and then they put him in a hospital. But the moment he was able to carry himself, he ran to where? The Tzius. Yeah. When he felt a little bit better, he sent an exciting letter to his father telling him that finally he reached here and everything's okay. And then he got a letter from his father. If you would have asked me, I would have told you not to go. But now that you're already there, I'm so happy for you. And I have a big sorrow in me that I didn't reach to get there.
Tvilot bekerach v'meana ha'am. Now, when was this?
I said between First World War and Second World War.
But we don't know quite sure when.
When exactly?
In the 20s.
It wasn't so many years between the First World War and the Second World War.
It was only 20 years.
More than 20 years. 22 years, right? 42 years?
1918 to 1939.
20 years. 20 years in my life. And Uman, the Birshleib, of course, cleaved together with the great Oivdin, the great Oivdin, the big Oivdin of Uman. There were humans who were walking as if they were walking in Gan Eden. There were people that were disconnected completely from the emptiness of this world. Only dealing with Chafetz Shamayim, only with Dusha. One of the biggest Avdim there was Rabbo Getzis. And Rabbi Hirschleib used to go with him in the middle of the night to tunnel in the river, in the icy river, not icy cold, a little bit. Icy river in the night, that it was sometimes minus 30 degrees Celsius. It's almost. Huh?
It's not Rosh Hashanah.
No, also after Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not ice.
No. It's cold.
Rosh Hashanah is cold, but man, you can manage. Talking about when the outside is 30 degrees Celsius. Minus. Yeah? That means minus 22. It's kind of cold out, yeah?
Yeah. That is as cold as...
It's
last
cool.
weekend in States.
Chicago, yeah.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah, and out of that ice, that's where they got their koach from to serve Hashem. Right? And then afterwards, they used to go to the new cemetery. Everyone who goes to Uman can know go where, behind the new cemetery. There's a big forest there. You go out there, go there. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's where they spent the ice cold boiling nights with prayers and cries and bodhisattvas and everything. And the stand out, you become big Oivdin. Not from eating ice cream and sitting around next to your heater. So, Shakoa.